That was good. Hey, why don't you put your hands together and welcome Adam as he comes to share with us.
Thank you.
Some of you don't know Adam. Adam grew up in a big religious family, didn't you? Big Catholic family.
Yes, big Catholic family.
And it had a way of shaping community for you. I found interesting as you kind of unpacked the importance of community. Maybe you could just kind of unpack that a bit for us.
Well, I think for us as a family, like we spend a lot of time traveling. We moved from, my parents met in France. They moved to Germany. Brother was born there. Then Manitoba, Ontario, New Brunswick, Ontario, back to Alberta. So we moved around a lot. And and we're a big family. I have three older brothers, two older sisters. So there's about six of us in the family.
Good Catholic family, yeah.
Yeah, big nice. Catholic family. Yeah. Either that or a Mormon, one of the two. So I think we picked Catholicism. So with that, I think as you move around a lot, your family becomes your community, right? Mm-hmm. Every place we go, we have to find something new. And so I think we kind of kept our family as our root. And I think the central pillar of that family was really Catholicism. Like, we're Roman Catholics. And, you know, that was kind of our central, the fault line that we worked off of.
Really, yeah. And you were pretty involved. Like, you were altar boy.
Yeah, we went to church every Sunday. If you couldn't go to church on Sunday, we'd go on a Saturday. And, you know, I was altar boy. All my brothers were. We either played in the choir or, you know, my dad did the readings at church.
I found it fascinating. Like, you would even be on holidays.
We'd always spend our holidays out in Ontario on a lake, and then, like, my cousins would live next door, and then, you know, it's Sunday, and it's, like, 30 degrees out, and there's a nice lake right in front of you, and we get hauled to church, and my cousins are, like, hanging out on the beach, and we're like, all right, well, that's what we do. We go, and we do wherever we went. Like, if we were traveling or taking holidays around, it'd be the same thing. Like, we'd find a church somewhere, so.
Wow. So community and church mixed together.
Whatever the central kind of tenets of the church, so like the sacraments were always kind of key, right? You know, baptism, everybody came out for that.
Yeah.
Confirmation.
Yeah.
Catechism, all those things. And like, I went to Catholic schools. All my brothers and sisters went to Catholic schools. So it was definitely a big part of our lives.
Yeah. At some point in your journey, you told me that you kind of started walking away from...
Yeah. Well, I literally walked away. Like, so we were living in Alberta, and I'd saved up a whole bunch of money to go back to school, and some things happened, and I just, you know, I saw a poster to go to Thailand, so I went to Thailand for about 3 months, and then I came back 3 years later. That was literally walked away, and you know, when you go to these, when you really separate yourself from that culture and from that community, like, and you go somewhere else and it's a completely different culture and different community. It definitely forces you to kind of reflect on, you know, where you are. Like, you know, Thailand is very Buddhist. I spent a lot of time in Indonesia, which is very Muslim-based, or even Malaysia is very Muslim-based. So you get, you know, you're getting exposed to something that, you know, you kind of have these base thought process of what faith is, and then you get kind of a completely different viewpoint mirrored at you. Day to day, and it definitely has an impact. And then I think as I traveled around and you're meeting different people and you're getting exposed to different ideas, definitely has an impact on, you know, the world views.
At some point you came home and things had like changed.
Yeah, eventually I came home, yeah.
Yeah, eventually.
But by the time I got home, you know, we moved to Toronto, and then we came here to Calgary. Like, I was very, if you think of my community being that family became just naturally came apart. Like, my brothers and sisters who live in Edmonton, I have a brother in Ottawa, I got a brother in California. Like, that family core, that community itself, just naturally kind of eroded. It's not like we don't love each other hanging out when we get to see each other, but it's kind of hard to have a sunny dinner when everybody lives every parts of North America.
Right, totally. At the same time as you were exposed to all these different religions and through your travel, though, things began to change even with respect to your own belief.
Oh, yeah. Like my belief fundamentally shifted to the point where, you know, where I, what I did believe, I don't believe that anymore.
It's interesting, even as, like, we were talking about this, this series, this Soundtracks for the Soul, and songs that resonated with your spiritual journey. And you picked the Strumbellas tune. Maybe in your, can you kind of tell us what that song, how it resonates for you? What is it about that tune that speaks to your spiritual journey or where you're at?
Well, I think for me, it's one that is an awesome illustration. I hadn't seen the illustration yet, so that's quick.
This for this week.
For me, I think it was like two things that kind of resonated with me. You know, one is, you know, and you hear it in the song, there's a lot of talking about leaving and a lot of going on the road. So there's a sense of, you know, being on a journey. And I think for me, you know, both physically and spiritually, I feel I've kind of gone on kind of a wacky ride. And then also, I think when I think about this place and I think about Friends Church, I feel like this is the place of the we don't knows. Like, I don't think any of us would be here if we thought we had the exact answers. Like if you're standing up here and saying, here's exactly how it is, I think we'd be at a different place.
I remember Vince telling me, because you guys have been here now 3 years, maybe.
I think so. About 3 years.
Something like that. And Vince said, I don't know, it was one of those off-the-cuff conversations. And he said, you know, Adam probably would identify as atheist. And it kind of went, what? Really? Adam? And it was just my honest comment. And so I guess I'm curious, in with all the changes that went on for you in that time frame, was there a point when you kind of went, I think that's what I am? Or,
I think that point was when I was here.
Really?
I think, not that, like, that thought process was there, and that feeling was there, and I think, you know, as I was living overseas, I think that kind of, inside my soul, that kind of got solidified. But when I came here, which I know it sounds like an odd thing to go to church to become an atheist, but once I got here, this place made me a lot more comfortable with it, and I don't mean that in a negative sense. I mean that in a very kind of positive sense.
That's going to twist some people up in here, I'm sure. In a positive sense.
Yeah, like I think for myself, and when I look at my background and growing up Catholic, like that's a definite negative thing to become an atheist. Like, it's not the goal of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, right, right.
They're aiming for a little bit different result.
Huh.
So in one context, there's that negative piece. But when I came here, there was a sense of, you know, the community here felt safe to be that.
Huh.
Hence standing up here and talking about it.
You know, growing up in church, and I grew up hardcore church, I had a view of atheists. And I don't know if any others could identify with this, but man, they were the big, bad atheists. Like, there was this kind of this really bad. So I'm not looking at you intentionally.
What are you trying to say, Jeff?
I just had this, and it was just in the way that they talked about him, but they were hostile toward God. They were looking to make fools out of anyone who believed in God. It was kind of this, they were angry, and they were like anti anything that we were about and trying to do. And does that make sense? And I don't know if that would have even been what you grew up with.
I think I've definitely encountered that. Like, I got friends that are, you know, atheists, and I would say that they'll fit that mold. But I think it's just like anything. It's a pretty broad brush to be like, well, here's these people that believe this.
Oh, 100%.
That doesn't believe anything, and they're all exactly the same.
No. Right? And I look at my stereotype as I grew up, and I was even confronted with parts of that when Vince said, hey, you know, Adam. And I was kind of like, what? I thought he was such a good guy. I'm joking. But there was this image in my head, and I thought, the other thing is, church is for everyone but atheists. No, and thanks, hear me out. No, no, no. But I would be like, why would they even want to come? What's their agenda? What are they trying to do? I'm just telling you honestly. And even since being raised with that and confronting those things, and over time, I've come to know different ones who would identify as atheist. One on my ball hockey team who's become one of my closest friends. I've begun to realize exactly what you're saying. There are just as many kinds of Christians. How many times someone says, oh, you're a Christian? You go, wait, 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 let me just qualify that. Right? In the same way, there are so many different shades and styles, and there's a big spectrum there. And you were one of those.
Yep.
That don't fit the model of what I had grown up with. In fact, it was only about 3 weeks ago, I'm sitting back there chatting with you, and we were talking about you being an atheist, and you said, well, I kind of consider myself an atheist Christian. Yeah. And I went, and I started laughing, and then I realized you were kind of serious. And
it,
then
it was
I,
hurtful when you laughed at me.
And then I kind of started backtracking. I was like, what do you mean by that? And so maybe you could explain that.
Well, I think in some ways we all kind of need guideposts to where we go, whether that, whether that's religion or whatever. There needs to be. I feel like you kind of need a North Star that you're tracking to. And I think for me, Christianity provides some of that, right? Like there's a lot that of the values that still resonate with me, like the golden rule, putting people that are maybe less fortunate ahead of yourself, thinking about, caring for those that are out there that need your help. That doesn't stop resonating for me just because I don't believe in God or believe Jesus was a God or any of that. And in some ways, I think as a Catholic, or at least in that point in my life, that might have felt like an easy crutch to not be the person I wanted to be, because you could sit there and be like, well, hey, I'm not this. I haven't accomplished this. Based off of what Jesus taught, but Jesus was a God, so that, that's a pretty high bar to kind of to jump to. But when you take that out of the equation, what's the excuse for not doing it? If Jesus is just a man, what really stops us from doing the things that he did?
Interesting. I remember you were unpacking that, and I think there would be many that would resonate with those kind of sentiments, whether they believe in Jesus as the Son of God or not. There's a sense of, we want to live like him. Perhaps for some, that would be a crutch. Perhaps someone would say, I'll never do it because, Son of God, I'm going to,
And that's not to say I am remotely close to, hitting anything I'm supposed to be doing.
Well, no, I heard you saying that you were. No, I hear you. I'm curious, and even as we're talking about this, if there would be people that are sitting here very uncomfortable with this, going, what the heck, Jeff? Are you doing? You having an atheist come in here and guest speak, sharing his views? Brené Brown, and I did a message last fall hitting on something she touched on in her most recent book called Braving the Wilderness. She talks about this phenomenon that we're really seeing in spades right now called sorting. Whereas it's this human tendency to take people and group into categories and put people in boxes. And what we try to do is, in the search for connection and belonging, we go, if I can find people who think and talk and act and believe like I do, well, then I'm going to find this deep connection. That's where community is. And she says, it's happening right now across, and she speaks across the United States. We can see it in Canada. But these homogenized communities that look and sound and act so similarly, what ends up happening is this sorting continues. And it's not just your actual physical neighborhoods or your workplaces or the kind of clubs you're a part of. It happens on Facebook. It happens like social media. We end up building an echo chamber where everything we see and hear sounds and looks exactly like what we're saying. It's all being echoed back to us. Now, you would think in an echo chamber where everyone is saying and thinking the same things, that there would be this deep sense of harmony and peace and connection with, because there would be no strife. She said, actually, research is proving the exact opposite. She said, in the middle of these echo chambers, she said, the isolation and loneliness is reaching epidemic proportions. She's a social researcher. She's saying, we are headed for trouble right now because people only want to hear and see the things that are exactly what they're feeling. Even me doing this right now, some would say, that shouldn't happen here. This is different than what some of us are at. It's sorting. We come, whether we want to admit it or not, we come from the Judeo-Christian tradition, which has some of the most homogenizing masters. If you look at the Jewish people, the children of Israel, basically their stories, you follow them, anyone that was different than them was considered an enemy, pretty much. I'm not villainizing. I'm just saying they were warned. Don't mess with the Amalekites. Don't go fraternizing with the Philistines. They're trouble. Samson, don't be doing that. One guy I was reading recently, he said, if you look through the biblical record, there is over 8,700 listed enemies of the Jewish people through the biblical account. This us versus them. That's what is so mind-blowing about the story of Jesus telling the story of the Good Samaritan. Religious leaders looking at him saying, okay, button it up. What is it that we must do to experience this life that you're talking about? He summarizes, he says, love God and love your neighbor. This religious scholar, he says, he's trying to kind of fine tune it, nuance it. He says, well, define neighbor then. Jesus just backs right off. He says, let me just tell you a story. And it's a pretty benign story. Traveler on a road gets ambushed, beaten up, robbed, and left for dead in the side of the road. A priest walks along, sees him, and turns his head and keeps walking. Then it says a Levite, who is really another very spiritual person, comes up, sees him too, and then turns the other way and keeps walking. But then he says, this Samaritan walks up, sees him, and he reaches out and starts bandaging him up, loads him up, takes him into town, takes him to this inn, gives him a bunch of money, says, look it, help this guy get healthy. If there's any added expenses, I'm going to be back. I will pay for them then. Jesus turns to this community of religious leaders and says, who figured it out? In the story, which character really got it? They couldn't even say the word Samaritan. They say, well, the one that was kind. Now, many of us today in our culture, we don't get the story. We just go, yeah, okay, so the rule is be a good Samaritan. In that day, the most unspiritual person you can think of would have been the Samaritan. It was the highest form of spiritual racism you could find. Anyone that was a Samaritan, you didn't even acknowledge them in the room. You wouldn't go near them. That's why when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, she was so shocked that he was even talking to her. You didn't even acknowledge them. In their minds, Samaritans were dead to God. Didn't give a rip about them. And who does Jesus make the hero in this story? The Samaritan. He says, you who think that person cannot have spiritual value, who gets what this thing is about, surprise. Talk about subversive. In fact, if you follow the life of Jesus, he was continually blurring the lines. All these little boxes that people said, he's a tax gatherer. Blur, blur, blur. She's a woman. Blurb. She's a prostitute. Blur, blur. What was he doing? He's going to take people out of the box. In some ways, I think he was looking at them and going, on a surface level, you're so quick to separate them out and say, no, these are the people that we trust. These are the people we can be close to. These are the people that we can experience belonging and spiritual connection and community. There's this diagram I love. I don't know if you got it, Andy, Megan. Oh, this is good. So true. I think this had Jesus all over it. He's going, look a little deeper. Look a little deeper. I asked you, Adam, recently if, in light of all the change that was going on in your life, with your new status.
Yeah.
which it's not like you're going out and telling everyone,
yeah, no.
Right? But
yeah, well, yeah, I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
So clearly.
if you felt, or had you talked to your mom and told your mom, because your mom probably seems like a matriarch in your family.
No.
Yeah.
No, I haven't really talked about it with my family, like a little bit with some of my brothers, but no, and I don't think I ever would, because I think it's like a community. You don't want to, what's the value of tearing that down? Just
how do you think she would react?
She would cry.
Huh.
Legitimately.
Yeah.
And I think, why would I want to do that?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. You know, and this is kind of the thing, right? It's like when we get into this us versus them, this we're all going to believe the same, right? We're all going to think the same, right? We're together on this. And I know within the Christian churches, there's a lot at stake.
Yeah.
With certain theologies. I mean, heaven and hell hang in the balance.
Yeah.
I mean, she's obviously going to be very concerned.
She would be like, when I die, she's not going to see me, so...
Right, right. I mean, there would be
loss.
Yeah, huge, huge. So you're like, ooh, the fear that can boil up within these homogenous groups, and maybe you've experienced these when all of a sudden, this is the thing about these groups, and I think part of the reason why, in the middle of some of the most homogenized society now we've ever experienced, why there's such a level of isolation and loneliness is exactly this. Is at some point in time, you begin to realize maybe I'm not as similar to some of these people as they think. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe life happens and things change for you. Family changes. Your marital status changes, perhaps. Maybe your financial picture changes. Maybe your mental health takes a turn for the worse. Emotional. Maybe one of your kids starts struggling. Maybe a sexual orientation shifts. And all of a sudden, you're found in the middle of what was once a very similar community. Now, you are the odd person out. And you've got this choice. Do I open up and make my mom cry? And I use that as a metaphor. I don't do that. Or do I just keep it to myself? And then it feels different, doesn't it? Certain conversations just don't feel the same way anymore. Certain times when everyone's talking with such passion, you're left on the outside going, well, I could pretend. I find it fascinating that you go through all this journey and then now you're here.
Yep. It seems like an odd joke. Of like,
well, yeah.
The atheist who goes to a Christian church in a synagogue, like it seems, there's got to be a punchline there somewhere.
There's a punchline. I kept on in my mind when Vince told me, that's how I kept on thinking, like, what is he even doing here? And
is he here?
That sounds so But maybe you could answer that. Like, what drew you back to church?
Well, I think a couple of things. Like, we started having a family, and that kind of impacted our existing kind of community. Like, our friends' landscape kind of changed. We moved to a city. Like, my wife has a bit of family here, but outside of that, we don't have a lot of family here. So it kind of, it probably triggered that sense of wanting to have wanting belonging and wanting to be a part of community. And I think now how we kind of ended up here was, where we wanted to be was somewhere that, matched our values and kind of as closely as possible matched our beliefs. And so, driving along, we saw the roadside banners, and then my wife started listening to podcasts, and then we started, I think we showed up to a couple of Christmas Eve mass. It's hard to say no to Bailey's at Christmas Eve. And then, then we just started attending, and then it just seemed to me as this place was pretty rare and unique. Like, there's not, I think we've had a few people come up here and say, like it doesn't exist. Like, I've actively looked for this, variations of this, not just within the Christian realm, but, within other faiths and beliefs, just to see if it exists, and it doesn't. This is a pretty rare place, and once you kind of get that sense, it becomes, well, you can either sit and be on the sidelines, or you can become engaged with it and help it and make it work and make it grow.
And you did.
A little bit. Okay. I brought at least three people.
I wasn't even talking about that.
Really, two of them didn't have any choice. So.
Yeah, your kids.
Yeah.
But I mean, you jumped in. You jumped in. You started helping with the website.
Yeah, I redid the website.
Redid our entire website. It was awful. You said, that's got to change.
Some things are just the right thing to do.
Yeah. And then you got involved in sound.
Yeah.
Remember that? Even to the point where you're playing here.
And now I'm talking. I'm pretty much doing everything. And
you're taking over my job, pretty much. I sometimes think about a lot of this. You said that there was a series that we did that was helpful for you. The Basecamp series.
Yeah, yeah. And I think...
And I don't know that some of you will have been around for that. That happened probably a couple years ago. But we talked about these different levels of spiritual development that kind of they've watched people kind of go through these different stages. And you said that helped you. Maybe just explain why.
Well, I think back to where I said, coming here made me feel comfortable being an atheist. I think it had a lot to do with this, where, in the past, like kind of you said, if you're a Catholic, you're either a Catholic or you're not.
Huh.
And you're definitely not if you're an atheist. Like, it's like there's a sub-layer of not Catholic. And I think that's that layer. And so, before coming here, there's that sense of either I didn't belong to something, I didn't have anything, and that this was a complete sidestep to kind of my own spiritual growth versus, seeing this kind of diagram where it says, hey, it's not something that you do other than, it's something that's part of that spiritual journey.
Can be a part of the journey. I know that...
Whether I go to step four, that's debatable, but...
Yeah. But you see yourself and kind of how you ended up where you are. Yeah. I think probably if we're all really honest, there have been moments or seasons. Perhaps some of you are in one right now where you're questioning things. And you maybe there's just a little doubt. Maybe you wouldn't say, oh yeah, no, I haven't gone that far. But you kind of move into this agnostic state where you're just going, you know what, I don't know. Like, we don't know. Like the song Strumbellas sing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, and that's part of stage three. And so some people would just go, whoa, I need to just stay right here. Some will skip through there. Some will bounce in and out of there. Stage two to stage four. That was helpful for me too, because I'll be honest with you, there are times, and there still are times, when I'm wrestling with mysteries that don't make sense to me. And I have to take what I believed and I need to just set it on a shelf for a little bit. And just go, I'm not sure where I sit there. Well, there's times where I'm there too. And so I'm not looking at you like, man, I don't get why you don't believe in God or whatever. I think there's many questions that we would share similarly. And I come out the you know, another side where I go, I see God, but that still, there's a lot of glue here in our journeys. Does that make sense? So, on the flip side of this, it seems like in a community like this, we can have a lot of sympathy for people who are questioning, people who have maybe just went, whoa, I'm just timing out on spiritual stuff and I'm just going to focus on tangible stuff. We can have a lot of, because many of us are there. But it's the people on the other end who think differently, perhaps, than some of us. Maybe what I'm referring to are more the traditional Christians. It wasn't, actually, it was only a couple weeks ago, I had a woman from within our community, vital part of our community. She called me up and she said, Jeff, I feel like you took a big paintbrush. And it's not like you did it intentionally, but I feel like you painted a lot of traditional Christians into one box. And you're kind of condescending toward them. And she said, I identify. I have family. And I just feel like you guys are, oh yeah, you can be as sympathetic toward them, but it seems like you're very unsympathetic over here and unwilling to embrace diversity on this side. And I'm telling you, it cut because it was true. And part of that is my own baggage. Part of that was my own hurt from another chapter of my life when I felt maybe judged by a particular kind of Christian and how easy it is to take them all and do exactly what I did with atheists, throw them all in one box and set them over there and say, oh yeah, they're all judgmental, they're all this, they're all that, don't we? It's so easy. And we lose the very thing what this community really was designed to do. Is to be able to break out of that and say, no, no, no. We will respect people of diversity on all sides and hear them out. That makes sense? Perhaps for some of you listening here today, maybe your challenge isn't embracing Adam. You go, oh, come on, man. I get it. With you. Watch, half of you will start identifying as atheists on me or something.
It's my plan works.
Oh, yeah, right.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, right. I knew it. I knew there was an agenda. I knew it.
We're going to be playing D&D next week. Listen to R.E.M.
Yeah, that's it. But I think there will be probably a larger group within this community that will struggle if I had someone on more on a traditional end. And I'm there. And that's me. That's on me. That's my baggage. And if I believe the beautiful connecting belonging community is built by us listening and hearing, looking into the eyes of people who maybe see differently on some things than other things, and we can absorb it, we can respect it, and they can respect us. And I know quickly someone will say, oh yeah, but they don't, no, don't lump them all into that category. I've met many traditional Christians who are not homophobes, who love people of diversity, want to be respectful, who are doing many good things in our world that need to be given the same shake. We cannot build another echo chamber here. We cannot do this. So I want to close this down. We're over time. I don't know. This is awesome, Adam. I don't know where you sit in regard to the challenge here this morning. The challenge is you want to connect. Be willing to look at people who maybe sit differently than you. Some people I've looked at and they're saying, man, I'm still looking for that community. And I would just say, are you looking too hard for someone who looks like you? And are you willing to be open? Because what you might find is a lot like that skeleton diagram. It's a weird thing. We're looking for some similarities up here, And we need not worry about that because we're similar down at a low level. Okay, we're done. This is good, man. You're good. Yeah. He did great, huh? Can we thank Adam? Happy birthday.
Thanks.